Romans chapter 11, we'll be turning to this morning, verses 33 through 36. Some really powerful verses here this morning. May the Lord bless them in the preaching and receiving of His holy word. Romans 11, 33 through 36. Hear now the word of the Lord. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been His counselor? Or who hath first given to Him, and it shall be recompensed unto Him again? For of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen. Well, Mr. Renner had a special request for me. I've encouraged you to send requests for me while I prepare for Deuteronomy and Philippians in the new year. And he had asked for Romans 11 recently, saying, I just can't tell you how much of a blessing, how I think he spoke in the way of being overwhelmed with chapter 11. And I told him maybe I could do it another time because the chapter has a lot of challenging things in it, overlapping with chapter 10. And I would want to make sure I have enough time to address with study some issues in it. But I guess that request stayed with me for a while, and it had me thinking about the end of Romans 11. One of my favorite scriptures that has stayed in my heart and is one of my favorite memory verses I like to go back and keep working on to keep it in my head and heart. It speaks of a humble submission to God's providence. It speaks to the way that we should be responding to God and how we look at everything, anticipate everything, analyze everything, how it should bring us back to the way we think about Him and how we should respond to Him with it all. And frankly, that we should be responding to Him with it all, and then how that we should. I couldn't help but think, as we're thinking about really providence, God's providence, and not really being able to make sense of it all, just having to learn to trust Him, trust that He's doing something behind everything. Gordon Clark, who has a wonderful book on providence and predestination, he says that providence are things that look like paradoxes. A paradox would seem to be something that contradicts, and they don't contradict, but it's basically something we just can't work out in our head. He says it's like having a Charlie horse between the ears. You know what a Charlie horse is? You know, if maybe somebody hits you in the leg really hard, and you're like, boom, you're playing football or soccer. It's like, ah! And you really got to rub it out, and it takes a while. It just kind of sort of paralyzes you and makes you have to stop moving and rub it out. And trying to think about a lot of the things that we observe, even things God reveals, but can be like a Charlie horse in the head between the ears. You can just be like, whoa. You know, it can kind of stop you, just, whoa. And it can hurt, it can perplex. You can't explain it, not fully. Providence can't be understood at the moment, but it can be observed and wondered over, marveled over, this sense of mystery in God and all His ways that He doesn't always show us. He just calls us to wonder in Him, and especially as we think of world events all around the world, that we would just wonder in Him, knowing that He's behind it all. God's ways and purpose in providence can't be known or interpreted, but they can be admired and praised. And I give that to you as the general idea of these verses. God's ways and purposes in providence can't be known or interpreted, but they can be admired and praised. Notice the rhetorical questions in verses 34 and 35 to make his point of 33 and lead into 36. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Now, these are rhetorical questions, right? Not really expecting that we would answer out loud. It's to kind of make us go, right. Who hath known the mind of the Lord? What's the answer? No one. No one knows. Even Jesus says in his humanity, he doesn't know the day or the hour of his return. That's for God alone to know. Who hath known the mind of the Lord? Well, the next question, or who hath been his counselor? You could translate that advisor. Can you imagine advising God? I think that's often how we approach him, though, isn't it? If we do even pray about it, a lot of times we don't even bother praying. We just go around trying to control it as if he's not in control. But then often we think we need to advise and counsel him. No, we can pray, and we can pray according to the word, but God counsels us. The Holy Spirit counsels us. He knows everything. We have nothing to teach him. Really, who has been his counselor? And what the answer is, rhetorically again, is what? No. Verse 35. Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? Did you give God anything first? No. Everything you have, he's given to you, the Father of heavenly lights. Does God owe you anything in return? No. Does God owe you an explanation? No. The only thing God owes you and me is what? Hell. And he doesn't have to explain anything to us. These are the rhetorical questions that are really related to what comes before. Don't even try to pretend to be able to interpret or understand providence, let alone guide and influence it. Don't pretend that you are at the same level as God. Rather, marvel in the master of the universe. And that's what he does in verse 33. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. God is infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his wisdom and knowledge, as Shorter Catechism number 4 teaches us. His ways are unfathomable, it could be translated. His judgments are unchangeable, inscrutable, untraceable, you could translate it. You see, you can't follow the dots of his invisible line. You just have to follow him, though blind, walking in faith, not by sight. And God's providence is not necessarily the straight line that we would like it to be. It's a line that goes all over in different places, and again, it's invisible. He's leading us along the way. And there really aren't usually any footprints to follow, save the Lord's, who's often just holding us up as well. And we see only his footprints. So the point is, be blown away by God's sovereign rule and grace. Be blown away by it. And that's the context of chapters 1 through 11, right? We learn that everybody is a sinner. Everybody is going to go to hell without Christ. Gentiles and Jews, nobody's going to be saved without Jesus Christ. All men are sinners. All men need God, but only God's elect will be saved. And only God's elect will be sustained by him. He will take out branches and he will add other branches. And no one can tell him what to do or what they think about it. He has mercy on whom he has mercy. He uses others to show his judgment. He has his purposes for the Jews and for the Gentiles in his perfect timing. Oh! That's the way this verse begins. Don't miss it. You see an exclamation point provided in the English at the end of the sentence. You could translate that word, oh, alas, or behold. This is the way we're supposed to respond to God and thinking about all of this that's come before. Paul is just saying, I know this is heavy. And don't we always say it's heavy? Sometimes you've asked me to preach Romans. I said, when I'm good and ready, I'll preach Romans. I have to make sure I feel ready. That's going to be intense to preach Romans. It's a lot. It's heavy stuff. Peter even says that Paul's writings are the Holy Scriptures, but some of them are hard to understand. And I imagine he had Romans particularly in mind. And he himself is dealing with all this amazing doctrine and all these deep and profound thoughts of how it all relates. And he just stops himself and says, alas! Who can know the mind of God? His judgments, we can't draw them out. His ways, we can't trace them. We can't counsel him. And that's the way we should be responding to God through everything, beloved. Paul's response to all of this is, wow. Just wonder in God and don't wonder why so much. Be overwhelmed by your inabilities and be aware of his mightiness, his infinite ability. Let your wondering about life turn you to wonder in the giver and sustainer of life, and end in resolve in doxology, as does Paul. Look at verse 36. For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. That's it. Well, he goes on with other things to say, particularly the way we're supposed to live. Not excluding chapter 13, by the way, as we look at everything going on in this world. But he just has to stop and praise the Lord and wonder at him and marvel at him and say, I'm not worthy. These things are too wonderful for me. You are glorious, O God. It isn't about me, God. It isn't about us, God. It's about him. It's about Jesus. It's about the kingdom of heaven. God raises up and he brings down kings and nations, beloved, and he uses all things for himself. He brings plagues and he takes plagues away. He does whatever he wants. And you and I don't really know why completely or what he's doing. And we shouldn't pretend that we do. And we shouldn't pretend that things are out of control. We shouldn't be the one wringing our hands. We should be ones raising our hands. Thomas Watson, as I've often brought to you, this quote my pastor, Jeff Stuyvesant, shared, I've always held on to it. He says that providence is the Christian's journal. You can only look back and understand. There's a place for historians, but even then, we don't know the full effect of everything unless the scriptures specifically speak to things. Be baffled and bless the Lord. Be astonished and glorify God. Lift up your hands in surrender and praise Jesus. Say, I don't get it, but you got this. An important meditation at the moment when we may think that everything in our nation, is world, is out of control. And it's not. You think this is scary? Give me a break. Look through world history. We don't know scary. We don't know problems. Even my wife from another country tells us, I don't understand you Americans. You don't understand how good you have it. With the government included. You have no idea how good you have it. Especially as Christians, how good we have it. That we should just trust the Lord in all of these things we've been facing this year. 2020, we'll look back and say it was a doozy. Some of us will look back and say you were a 2020 baby. And the baby will still be there. And we'll still be moving on. And there'll be new problems to deal with. This doesn't mean we shouldn't be doing fasting and asking God to respond and answer and reveal things to us. But we of all people should be the ones that are peacemakers now. We of all people should be the ones that have a peace that is not of this world. We shouldn't look like everyone else. We should look different. We should look like Paul. And just be baffled and say, I can't pretend that I understand all this, and I simply bless the Lord. As if we really know what's going on or where things are going. Let me throw this one out just for an example. As if we really think we know what's going to happen and everything that's happening. Like Y2K. Oh, so many of us were so certain. I had friends who still had all kinds of supplies stored up. We don't know anything. Let's not pretend that we can know and control. And let us be careful to not act like God is not in control, or that we should keep kicking against his providence when he calls us to submit to it and trust he has a bigger plan and focus, and that is him and his kingdom and not ours. He has destroyed many kingdoms before him with his rod of iron, and he will do it again, and he doesn't need any of them. And this is freeing, beloved. This is freeing so we don't go out of control in panic and paranoia. Let us just stay focused on God's precepts through his providence. He's told us how he wants us to live. And we don't need to understand everything around us. It doesn't change anything about his commands. Don't try and manipulate the circumstances. Just marvel in them. And magnify God. Just trust God knows what he is doing and be amazed in his awesomeness that all of these things, everything that's happening, is under his control, is under his guidance, is part of his perfect eternal plan with an end in sight that is for your good in Christ. God doesn't need to explain himself, and you don't need to try and explain everything yourself. Nor can you. Even when you really wish you could know why. Beloved, I remind you of a wise nugget from those like, I believe, Derek Thomas and I think Joel Beakey, who have commented on the book of Job. One thing to really pay attention to, that God never answers one of the big questions Job seems to be asking. Why? He doesn't have to answer that question, and he often doesn't. That's not the main question. He just shows himself. He shows him his glory. And he demands his trust. I've shared this many times, but it really bears repeating. One Puritan has said that Abraham didn't know where he was going, but he knew with whom he was going. And that has to be enough. And until it's enough, you have nothing. I found an old CD I've been playing and sharing with the family. I was at a pregnancy care center dinner fundraiser years ago in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And this lady, Gianna Jensen, was singing one of her songs, well, singing for us, performing for us. And one of her songs I have in mind that she sings, I believe the song is called It's in the Waiting. But she says this, He, that is God, he doesn't ask you to know, only to follow. He doesn't ask you to know, only to follow. Well, she survived birth at 30 weeks of her mother's pregnancy during a failed saline abortion. She weighed 2.5 pounds when she was born in Los Angeles with cerebral palsy, which she says the botched abortion caused her, and yet she calls it a tremendous gift. And when you saw her singing, she had to sit on a stool to be able to get through the concert. She has an amazing voice. And she's been used by God in her situation to testify on national media and about Planned Parenthood before a congressional hearing investigation because of her situation. But she could have wondered why. Why? She was adopted. Instead, she just wonders in God. And this frees her from her limitations to serve him in his greatness. And so, beloved, can you be free. Don't wonder why. Just wonder in God. That's the message for you this morning. Oh, the depths of the riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again. For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Again, beloved, don't wonder why. Just wonder in God and be freed in glorifying him in the mystery of it all. Knowing you know what you need to know. And it's what we should be spending our time thinking about more. Let us pray. Almighty God, we do wonder in you, the maker of heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is. We do wonder in your marvelous providence. We wonder in your mighty power. Lord, we acknowledge that we can't understand how everything is working out when we think about history and all the awful things happening and knowing that somehow you're using them. When we think about how blessed we are to be in this nation, to be spared so many things, when we think just about the kind of medical attention we can have that was not afforded to so many in generations before, we had nothing to do with where we were born. We have nothing to do with being born again. Oh, Lord, when we stop and think about all the things in our lives and how you've used them to bring us to this place, we marvel. We marvel. As we look ahead and know that we will be surprised that you bring us through all these different places and ways that we do not plan or expect, but it will be your plan and it will work out your perfect plan and glory to yourself and for our good. Let us marvel in you. Let us just marvel in the mystery of it all. Let us wonder in you who are awesome, truly awesome. Let us take peace and be free to know we can't explain everything, and we don't have to, and we must not try, other than to just point to what the scriptures point to. Repent while the day is the day of salvation. Come into the kingdom of heaven. Trust in the Lord. Die to yourself. Give up all of yourself. Turn to Jesus. Trust in him. Walk by faith and not by sight. O Lord, indeed, we pray that you would increase our faith and help our unbelief. Help us, Lord, to stop worrying about everything and start trusting you in everything. Help us to stop acting like the world's out of control. It's under your control. Everything's in your hand. We don't make light of difficult providences. We don't make light of pain and problems. But Lord, let us remember to see all that we have. Let us not lose sight. Let us not lose our reason. And recognize we have it amazing, even yet now. And when you do give us difficulties, you're using them for our good, to conform us more to the image of Christ, to draw others to Christ. Lord, help us to be content to wonder in you and not to wonder so much about why. For ultimately, the answer of why is to give you glory. And let that be enough. And indeed, let us have that be renewed as our chief end and enjoy you in it now and forever. O Lord, we do focus our thoughts on your providence, on your power, on your plan. We focus our thoughts on what you have revealed to us, and we even acknowledge that we yet still struggle to make sense of it all, but you have made sense of it, and it will make sense on the last great day. We close focusing our thoughts as you call us to pray, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.